church with the word of God. Come see us at the Word.
Just how many of you know that the Holy Ghost has a special way of just dropping something on you that you wasn't even planning? Okay, talk back. Yeah, man, you've experienced that? You aren't really looking for something, but the Holy Ghost just drops something on you. I want you to say these words with your mouth. Take me to the King.
Take me to the King.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Take me to the King.
Take me to the King.
I want you just to do the work of the ministry real quick before we get to going. And I want you to turn around to somebody on the left and the right, and I want you to tell them this. Friend, don't take me to anybody but Jesus. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. And I'm wanting you to respond today. I want you, if you believe what I'm saying is the truth, to say amen. If you believe what I'm saying is the truth, I want you to leap up on your feet. If you believe what I'm saying is the God, not yet, I ain't even got there yet. If you believe what I'm saying, I want you to not be ashamed, because we're streaming all, literally all over the world today. And you need to let somebody in this world know that right here in Wichita Falls, people believe that Jesus is alive. Listen, today we celebrate this truth that separates us as Christians from any other religion. We celebrate that our Savior is not laying in a tomb, and we go worship not one time a year, hoping that one day our Savior will raise from the dead. We have something that no one else has, and that's the fact that our Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. The grave is empty. The cross could not hold him. The grave could not stop him. He's alive. Say, how do I know he's alive? He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I got about 10 of you believe that. I said, he walks with me. He talks with me. You think, well, he don't say nothing to me. Probably because you won't be quiet long enough to hear it. But he said, my sheep know my voice. Help me out, Cedric. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. And if that wasn't enough, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Woo! Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living. Just because. Woo! I feel it coming on. Life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Woo! I'm trying to, trying to be contained, but I'm about to have a shandai in here right now. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Nobody else can say that but us. They can't say that about Muhammad. They can't say that about Buddha. No one can say that but us. Come on, are you thankful? Are you thankful today that he lives? Life is worth the living. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that more abundantly. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Woo! That song has been, do you even know that song? That song's been going over and over in me all week long. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, and I ain't even singing in the right key, but I don't care. He holds the future. Life is worth the living. And that's why when people say, well, I don't have nothing to live for, that's because you don't have Jesus. Because if you had Jesus, you'd know that life is worth the living. And Greek word zoe, called the God kind of life. Not just to exist, not just to go crazy, not just to lose your mind, but to have life. How many of you are living the God kind of life right now? The God kind of life means I don't have to worry about depression. The God kind, come on now, the God kind of life says I don't have to worry about being sad and running down with my chin dragging the ground and worried about how I'm going to make it from day to day. Life is worth the living. Why? What's the reason? Because he lives. Not because of my achievements. If you think life is worth the living because you've achieved a few things, trust me, hang around. Somebody's achieved more than you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? About the time you think you're the smartest one there is, somebody pops up that's smarter than you. Okay. Think about the time you think that you're all that and a bag of chips, somebody else pops up and you find out you're nothing but Funyuns. You just smell bad. Life is worth the living, not based on my achievements, but thank God it's not even based on my failures. I'm glad today to tell you that heaven's not keeping record of your failures. Heaven's only keeping record of your successes. I could say, let's take a poll, and how many of you have ever failed in your life? I'm sure we all raise our hands, right? Right? I'm sure all of us have failed at something. But guess what? Heaven's not concerned about your failures. Heaven's looking at your successes. Life is worth the living, not based on your failures or your successes. Life is worth the living, not because of your wealth or the lack thereof. How many of you know that God wants you to be blessed? How many of you know it is God's will for you to prosper? Like six of you. I lost a bunch of you. That's all right. It is God's will for you to prosper. Pastor Linda said, how many prosperous people are in this building today? And a lot of people, I can see it because you could see it on your faces. A lot of people are like, because you think that the only way you're prosperous is for prosperity to be there. The first thing you got to change is your way of thinking. I am what I am. It may not have manifested in my bank account yet, but maybe understand that I am what I am. I might not be writing a $1 million check today. I might be like a little Christian. Isn't that amazing? That little Christian is the first person to give an offering every single Sunday that he's here. He runs down. I'm going to show you something that's awesome. He don't know I'm talking about him, but his mama does. That's all right. He runs down to the offering. And he puts his, and he goes back to get some more. And he runs back down, puts some more in. I want you to understand, say, what's the big deal about that? That baby used to be so afraid he didn't even want to come to church. But now he's running down to the offering. And you say, well, there's nothing to that. You don't think that God is even using the offering to minister that little baby? I'm going to tell you right now, Pastor Linda read us a scripture. If we pray according to his will, if we do according to his will, it is his will for you to prosper. But the good side about that is that if you've not yet got to that point, and you still say, oh, I don't have anything, he's still worth living. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. Meaning what? I've been up in the high and I've been in the low, and I have the same testimony that God is still good. Does anybody believe that? Do you believe that he is good? Do you believe that his mercy endures forever? Do you believe that he is God, and whether people want to accept it or not, he desires to do great things in your life? He is real. All right. He is real.
Yes, he is.
How can I know he's real? Because he's alive. I'm living for no other reason than this, because he lives.
Amen.
I'm living because he lives.
Amen.
How many of you, I mean, we just read it Wednesday night, if you, those of you that are here. In him, we live, we move, we have our being. In him. Meaning outside of him, I'm really not living. Outside of him, I really don't have a being. Outside of him, I really have no existence. I only find fulfillment in him. Have any of you ever tried it on your own? Talk to me, somebody in here. You ever tried it on your own? Yeah, that didn't work well for you, did it? It didn't for anybody. We try to find success on our own. That doesn't work. Try to make it, just make it on our own. That doesn't work well. In him. If somebody shout in him.
In him.
No, come on. You got to shout it. In him.
In him.
In him we live. We move. And we have our being. So you believe, you know, I'm trying to get this before I even get to the scripture. I want you to get this. Your life right now, no matter what you came in here today facing, your life is worth living.
Amen.
Simply for this reason, he lives.
Amen.
He lives. That's it. You may have felt like giving up on life. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to give up on life. You need to get a revelation of what living really is. Because he lives. Now life is worth the living.
Amen.
So you know, I want to get some scriptures because I want you to understand this about going to the king. But before I do, one more time, before I get on, I want to just say, if you believe he's alive, wave at me.
Amen.
Right, hold on. Now, all of you that are waving at me, just for about 10 seconds here, can we just give him a I believe he's alive shout in this place right now? Come on. 1, 2, 3, stop! All right, let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This actual message came to me while I was listening to this Tamla Man song called Take Me to the King. Has anybody heard that song? Because the very beginning of this says, take me to the king. I don't have much to bring. So when you come to the king, it ain't about what you have. It's about you understanding who he is. Zechariah 9:9. While I was meditating and listening to this song, actually I was listening to this song, and then the Holy Spirit just spoke something, then I started meditating. The Holy Spirit said this to me. Heaven was never confused who he was. Heaven knew all the time who Jesus was. Oh, glory. Well, let's look at Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. What does that mean? Zechariah was already prophesying of his coming. And notice this. He did not refer to Jesus as a sacrifice. He did not even refer to him as John the Baptist, as the Lamb of God. Glory. What did he say? Behold, thy king cometh. I think that we've went through all the transitions till people have got lost in the transitions. We have the nativity scene at Christmas. I'm not saying that's not right. Then we have just empty tombs at Easter. But we've allowed Santa Claus and the bunny to compete with us to the point that I don't think the world really understands that Jesus was just not a good man. Thank you, all three of you, for your vote of confidence. He's not just somebody who showed up and did a couple of good things. Behold, thy king cometh. How many of you understand today he is the King of Glory? Let me try that again. I wasn't very convinced. How many of you believe he is the King of Glory?
Amen.
Look at this. I begin to say this out. 500 to 600 years before Jesus is born. From the time of Zechariah to the birth of Jesus, 500 to 600 years, that Zechariah is prophesying, thy king cometh. Thy King cometh. Thy King cometh. What's the good news then? The good news is that the King has come. We're not living inside of a prophecy that's about to take place. The King has come. Well, where is he? He's high and seated on his throne. How do we know that?
Because,
thank you, he's alive. At least I got one helper in this place today. Because he's alive. Mary and Martha show up early one morning. On, we say Sunday morning. I'm going to stick with that right now. And when they get to the tomb, the stone is rolled away and there's an angel sitting there. And he says, why seek you the living among the dead? For he is risen, like he said. How many of you believe that is true?
Amen.
That's not a Mother Goose rhyme, baby. That happened. He is alive. Behold, the King cometh. 500 to 600 years before he was born. Now let's go to something else. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. When these wise men, the Magi, show up, some scholars say that Jesus was 40 days old. Some say he was 2 to 3 years old. But what I want to get your attention was that he was still very much an infant or a toddler at the most. Okay, can we all at least get on that same page? Regardless which way you want to get, I don't want to get in a theological debate with you. You can believe he was an infant. You can believe he was a toddler. But can we all get on the point that he was still very much still a baby?
Yes.
And what do these men do? Look at, get their attention. Look at what he does. They bring gifts suitable for a king. They bring gifts that were suitable for a king so that, to the point that Joseph and Mary are able to take baby Jesus and go into Egypt and hide out from Herod and be sustained on their journey. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse 1. Well, let me read off there. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Look at this next one. Saying, where is he that is born? King, hold on. What did they ask? They didn't ask for the baby, did they? Come on now. They didn't ask for the prophet, did they? They didn't ask for a good man, did they? Come on, I'm trying to show you something. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? What did they ask for? Where is the king that is born to the Jews? Where is that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. These men showed up. They were wise men. I was even studying something this week. Then I heard Joseph Prince and I heard somebody else say, and I said, let me start studying this. And I'm not even finished studying it yet. But it has become a very interesting study of how these men can be traced all the way back to Babylon. And there's significant evidence to prove that they were taught by Daniel while they were in Babylon. Now they show up, and when they show up, they're not looking for baby Jesus. They're looking for the King. So you came today, maybe to eat an enchilada. You will not be disappointed. You came maybe today because you wanted to come to church and it was Easter, and thank you. You came maybe today because you wanted to see somebody be baptized, or you're here because somebody, some baby is being dedicated. Thank you. But I want you to realize the greatest revelation you will get today.
Yes.
Say, you realize that Jesus is the King.
Yes.
Are you in here with me right now?
Yes.
Let's go to Matthew 27. I want to read quite a lot of scripture here And, you know, like we always say, if you get mad because we read the Bible in church, then you just need to get saved. Because sometimes you just need to read the Bible. I mean, we can't chop it. Well, let me read this to save time. Sometimes we just got to read it. And you shouldn't get mad about that. How many of you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start at 27, Matthew 27. In verse 11. Are you there? If you're at 27:11, shout, I'm there.
I'm there.
And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor that want to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said with them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed their knees before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. See, look at this. They were doing him mocking, but they were actually prophesying. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with guile. And when they had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments amongst us, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Oh my God. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his tent, in his teeth, excuse me. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calls for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on the reed and gave him the drink. And the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Good night, Almighty. Now when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. But I would like to turn your attention to Philippians chapter 2, because this story does not yet have an ending. And I would like you to look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, woo, shalabahasa, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I would like you to turn to the last chapter of your Bible, to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Are you reading what I'm reading? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that mean? He's not just the King of the Jews. Glory to God. He's not just the King of Israel. But understand today that he is King of Kings. Glory to God. He is King of all kings. He is Lord of all lords. If you today need penalty, you today need to find pardon, excuse me, from the penalty of your sin. It's not coming from society. You can't find freedom from anything that's going on in your life from your education. You can't even buy your way into this freedom. You've got to go to the King. I want you to read one more scripture with me in Hebrews chapter 8. I want to share with you some good gospel news. Hebrews 8 and 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And you thought that he's sitting there with the scoreboard. No. I will be righteous. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loves you. Thank you, all six of you. I said, Jesus loves you. And you know, how many of you today love somebody? Wave at me. If you love somebody, hold your hand up. Put your hand down. How many of you love me? Okay, I love you too. That means we're in agreement. But do you understand there are some things that you cannot do for me? How many of you mothers love your children? Should have been all of you. How many of you fathers love your children? But how many of you even understand as mothers and fathers there's things that we can't do? There's some things we just cannot do. What does that mean? That means you've got to make your way to the King. Don't take me to a guru. Don't take me to Dr. Phil. Don't take me to someone who's going to massage my emotions. Take me to the King. I said, take me to the King. When I get there, I won't have nothing, because what I have is nothing but filthy rags. But what do I have? I got Jesus. Take me to the King. How many of you have made your way to the King? You may have came in here today carrying so much weight on you, feeling how you going to make it through this, how you going to make it through that. God, we need a miracle here. God, we need a miracle there. But I got news for you. Take me to the King. Because what's going on in my life can only be done by the King.